Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Rewind, a podcast that rewatches, reviews, and responds to every movie, show, one-shot, and special presentation in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm Al Rodriguez.
And I'm Tony Camarena.
And before we get into this week's episode, we want to ask you to follow us on some form of social media, Twitter, Blue Sky, Threads, etc., etc. Oh, Instagram, that's what we actually use sometimes. Mm-hmm. We are at MCU underscore rewind sometimes. There's probably no one impersonating us, so just search MCU Rewind. I think you'll find us. And then also give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. And when you give a rating, definitely give, you know, text to say why you give it that rating and specify an accent, and we'll read it in that accent.
I swear. Oh, I forgot about that.
We'll do our best. Yep. We will do our best to do it in that accent. If you have any ideas for Skrull episodes, you know, we have already have our next one planned, but the one after that, we have no idea what we'll do. So let us know. You can do that on social media or sending us an email at mcurewind@gmail.com. No underscore. All right. All that stuff's out of the way. Let's talk about season 2, episode 8 of Iron Fist, titled Citadel on the Edge of Vengeance, which premiered September 7th, 2018.
And here's our recap of the episode. Walker watches Mary's message and is super confused when Mary thanks her for breaking out of the Sokovian prison where they were prisoners of war. Or they were a prisoner of war? I don't know how that works. Walker has always thought that it was Mary who broke them out, and Mary thought that Walker did it. Her psychiatrist suggests there may be another altar, but she dismisses the idea. Joy attempts to undermine Davos by searching for the bowl and asks Ward to take over the business venture she is carrying out in the memory of her mother. He worries that she's in danger, and Walker agrees to help him kill Davos. BB helps Joy steal the bowl, while Davos fails to convince the wire community of the nobility of his crusade, because he ends up murdering the guy he was trying to convince. The remaining members of the Hatchetmen and the Golden Tigers band together to stop him, and all Danny can do is whine and try to stop him first. Colleen tries to teach Danny to overcome his emotional bond to Davos, allowing him to realize the negative impacts he's had on his life. And the negative impacts that the Iron Fist has had. Danny suggests that Colleen should take the power from Davos, which this podcaster wholeheartedly agrees with.
Same.
All right. Let's move on to our fast facts.
On your left.
Uh-huh. On my left. Got it.
Stop! Damn it!
Jesus, you are fast.
Stay away.
Look, I don't want to hurt you.
You didn't see that coming?
Al, don't say any fast facts. You don't have to. At least for 2 more weeks.
Yes.
All right. The title of the episode, The Citadel on the Edge of Vengeance. Marvel premiere number 17 in September of 1974. It says, Harold Meacham wants the Iron Fist dead, and he isn't afraid to lay a few kung fu traps to get what he wants. Iron Fist goes against the man who placed the bounty on his head. Enter the Ninja, a mysterious hand-on-hand combatant who may prove to be an ally to Iron Fist. It really throws me off when they don't call him the Iron Fist.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, after reading these for a couple of weeks, and then now watching X-Men 97, that is currently playing on Disney Plus. We're not sponsored, but pay us, Disney. We'll take it. I feel like X-Men is the most accurate to the comics of the 70s with, like, this over-the-top, multiple exclamation points, narration. I'm just like, yeah, it's pretty accurate.
Wait, is there narration in the show?
I'm talking about, Storm coming in as, the goddess of storms just tremble in terror as the storms destroy. I'm not a storm, but yeah, that type of over the top dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
gotcha. Okay.
In this episode, moving on, we see Paul Edmonds, Mary's psychologist. We've actually seen him before.
Nope.
He was also Danny's psychologist in season 2 and season 1, episode 2, and episode 9, when he was, you know, put into the psych ward by Harold, or by Ward.
Oh, okay. So playing the same character.
Okay. Yes, yes.
Usually when you start that, I'm like, oh, okay, this is an actor who played a different character. Yeah. Okay, but no, same character, cool.
And he's also appeared in the comics. Well, first I'll talk about the actor, Murray Bartlett. His only nerd cred, he played Frank in The Last of Us Season 1, Episode 3, which I have not watched yet because I played the video game, and I don't feel like going through that trauma again. But he has one appearance in the comics, Dr. Paul Edmonds. Avengers number 227 on October 1982. He was a psychologist hired by Tony Stark to evaluate Hank Pym after he stole government adamantium. Apparently Hank Pym wasn't crazy, so he would not plead guilty. Unfortunately, I'm going from memory after reading what happened because it's only appearance. The pen that he was using to take notes was also a listening device to Egghead, who everyone presumed was dead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And finally, I looked up because we were so short on Easter eggs, I looked up the book that Chen Wu was reading, which is called Just Not Making Mayhem Like They Used To by Don von Elsner. I copied a screenshot of the back of the book. Corporation Corpse. This is the synopsis. An insurance company hires Colonel David Danning to check on a suspiciously large number of policyholder suicides. Danning, the detective with a steel trap, fearlessness, and modern finesse, uncovers a sordid game that reeks of sin, sex, and death. The most ingenious plot ever devised by a twisted mind to drive men into their graves. It is Danning's most dangerous match, his cunning against the unseen assailant who's rich quick and kills quick, who gets rich quick and kills quicker. This is a book from 1972. Apparently it's a series of like 14 like corporate murder mysteries. So I was hoping there'd be like some connection to Iron Fist. No, just a weird book.
Just a book that they had lying around. Okay.
Apparently. Right, cool. Also, it's a collectible. I was like very hard to find like anything about this book. It was just on like collector's lists.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Huh. Yeah. Yep. All right. Moving on to our heroes.
It is one thing to question the official story and another thing entirely to make wild accusations or insinuate that I'm a superhero.
I never said you were a superhero.
Didn't? Mm-mm. Well, good, because that would be outlandish and fantastic.
I saw you. You're a hero. A for real superhero, which is, I'm not like a groupie stalker type, but.
It's too late for heroes.
Hero's your word, not mine.
I have mostly about Danny in this one, which is unusual.
Yeah, I mean, I have more notes about Danny, but they're all combined with Colleen. But yeah, same.
I think all my Colleen stuff is combined with Danny's too, so I just have it under Danny. So yeah, we'll just talk about both of them.
All right, that sounds good. I want to start out by saying that Danny says that Davos is his blind spot, which means that Davos is his Bucky.
This is true. He like even so much as he's the he's a villain who was like a brother.
Yeah, exactly.
Fortunately or unfortunately, he steals his powers, unlike Cap, who never gets his power stolen.
Well, yeah, it's there's a level of competence there between those two characters. It's very different.
Well, yeah, I mean, Davos can think for himself. When Bucky's a villain, he can't.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. I meant the opposite on the heroes side. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's true too. We have a more common villain with a less common hero in the show.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Colleen's been training him. Says he's trained physically but not emotionally, like you said, Davos is a blind spot. And their strategy is to tire him out, because if he lands one blow with that fist, it's done. But also, if he punches the ground with the fist, he's done.
Yeah. Hopefully Davos doesn't know he could do that, I guess. Because you're right. Because we saw in the season premiere, right, that very first scene, Danny was fighting like a group of guys with guns. He just punched the ground.
Yeah.
And I guess the shockwave also started like 3 feet away, so it didn't hit Danny too.
Yeah, this is true. His legs would at least be thrown out from beneath him.
Yeah. All right. Cool. All right.
Yeah. So it's
and worse.
Sorry. No good.
And worse, Davos has two fists, so he only has to hit with one of those also. And oh boy.
Yeah, you dodge with one, and then you get hit with the other fist, and then you die.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then you die.
So this is like partially they got the strategy from Homer Simpson to tire him out, but instead of taking the punches, because you'll die, Danny, you have to avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, end of this episode, Danny recommends Colleen becomes the Iron Fist, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now they have a hotline with a bunch of monitors ready to go out and fight things, right? A tip line for Davos. Should we move Danny to guy in the chair and Colleen to be our only hero?
Obviously, yes. That's what should happen when these series of events happen. Yes.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I mean, kind of, yeah. Like, maybe. We'll have to see.
We've always contended she is more of the hero than he is, even when she worked for the Hand.
Yes, and I am so glad that he recognizes it too.
Yeah.
Granted, there's more to it, right, in his speech about that. But yes,
I don't think there's more to it. What more to it is there than Colleen is the hero? This show should be called Colleen Wing because currently it's named after Davos.
That's true. Yes. Yeah, no. I mean, he does actually list a couple of reasons, right? I know we're jumping ahead a little, but he was basically saying when he was in Kunlun, like he became a good fighter because he had a mission, right? Like he needed to survive. Like this was, you know, a completely different culture for him, all that stuff. So he just became really good at fighting. Mm-hmm. Partially because he had to, partially because, I mean, I guess last week we discovered he was basically Davos's punching bag growing up, so he had to get better. And so now Danny's like, wait, that's right, I'm a billionaire. I can just solve everything with money, which, yeah, when you're a billionaire, you can. So I guess if he still wants to do good, he can use his money for good. And
or for nothing.
Does it
as he does
or for nothing, yeah. That's also an option. But I would hope that maybe Colleen would at least kind of nudge him towards, you know, something. And so now he's like, all right, well, I guess I don't need to be the Iron Fist, which is good. I think finally, you know, it's that level of maturity. Because before he was like, I should be the Iron Fist because I'm the best. Ha ha ha. Now he's like,
yep, I remember that maniacal Danny. Someone like exactly. In season one.
Yeah, I don't know why he always does that laugh, but he does. Yeah. Now he's like, okay, cool. I guess I don't need to be this. Well, that's a big weight off of my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
And cool. Your fist.
That too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they get the call on the tip line, and she decides to take him out into the field.
So that was midway, earlier than what we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm. So they go to save Mrs. Yang, who is, what's she doing there? Is she just at her safe house, or?
Didn't they see some dead members of their gang? I forget which ones they are. They're the other
Golden Tigers.
Golden Tigers, right? Didn't was there like one or two dead Golden Tigers in that building?
No, well, they get it from Davos gets the information from Chenwu. This is Chenwu's list, you know, because we get that scene with "Are you betraying me?" stuff like that outside beforehand.
Okay, Oh, okay. Then yeah, I guess it was just a generic safe house. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, Davos is going after her people, so she kind of needs to do some stuff yeah. to be safe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we get a decent fight scene with Colleen versus Chenwu. Almost some Black Widow style moves.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly when she jumps on him and takes him down with her thighs, like Black Widow does.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. I'm trying to see the Hatchimen and the Tigers don't want to listen to Danny and Colleen, even though they're allies now. They're going to mm-hmm. get punched to death by Davos.
Yeah. Yeah. Accidental allies, or there's probably better phrasing for that.
Allies of convenience. I believe.
Yeah, there you go. That's the common phrase.
Yeah. Let's see. And then, I mean, they talk about their relationship. Colleen and Danny. No, or the Golden Tigers and Hatchetman talk about Colleen and Danny's relationship. I can't tell from my notes. yeah. So, yeah, it's a weird position that Colleen's in now. Being his teacher, she says they can't. It has to be choose between ending Davos or ending their relationship. I don't really get that. Like,
I think, yeah, I didn't fully understand it either. Really, like her mindset. Like, I think what she's saying is, until we beat Davos, we can't be together because I need to focus, and you, Danny, need to focus on getting better.
Mm-hmm.
Of a fighter, and then she can't do that because she wants to be, like, as a teacher, she needs to be critical of him, right, hard on him, and look at all of his weaknesses, and she can't do that if they're in a loving relationship. I guess I don't fully understand that logic. Like, I mean,
it might be pretty toxic if you're just pointing out all the time.
Yeah, that's true. And okay, Danny. She was a mean teacher. As you used. That's true. She was. She was like hitting him a lot. But I guess you're right. Like, she's like, hey, Danny, you're not kicking as high as you used to. Let's do this practice to get better. Also, you keep leaving the seat up. Like, she doesn't want to combine those things. That'd be bad.
Well, no. Yes, that's true. You know, Danny does that because he's an inconsiderate person.
Yes. Oh, he definitely does. Mm-hmm.
But no, I was thinking back to season one when she was very mean to her students when she used to fight the dojo.
It's true, yeah.
She would call them like slow and lazy and.
Yeah. And she would say that after like beating them all. Cause like she would have them attack her.
Exactly. Which that's she not does to Danny in this when they go to the fight ring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I thought they were going. They play for points, which is like either knocking them out of the ring or taking off stuff taped to them, like strips of fabric mm-hmm. taped to them. Which is good because before that, I thought they were going to kick each other's ass. But it's like, well, now Danny's obviously going to be defeated, and then they have to fight Davos. So at least it's better.
So like I get that. You know, in this final fight. That kumite that she said, right? Like, you don't want to beat him physically too bad because he still has to physically be good enough to fight. But, like, a scene earlier, she, like, knocked him in the face with her staff. Like, and some blood came out. Like, yeah, I guess she didn't knock him unconscious, but, like, that still hurt a lot. It's still something his body is healing from, in addition to healing from a stab wound, I guess.
Well, yeah, but you gotta consider how he used to fight all the time. He used to fight every single day. I presume,
true.
I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, she has to get him back into that mindset, because, you know, he got soft. He got into the, like, oh, cool, I can fight, and then I can sleep in a real bed. Cool, mm-hmm. Okay.
Exactly. Now that they're not in a relationship, he probably sleeps on the floor.
Oh, yeah, that's true. She makes him sleep on the floor because none of her students sleep in the same bed as her. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm, true. The fact that Danny's not a great fighter. He got defeated by Mary. He got defeated by Davos. He got defeated by Daredevil in Defenders. Daredevil's an excellent fighter, but the fact that he's not like a mythologically great fighter makes me really believe that there were only two students in Kunlun.
I mean, maybe not only two, but few, a handful. To be fair, of all of the ones that you listed, it makes sense why Walker beat him in a fight. Because she drugged him quickly.
Yes.
Other ones, though, he has absolutely no excuse. There was this comic strip that I read once. I didn't read the whole comic. But it was...
I thought you were going to say, I didn't finish the whole comic strip. I'm like, wow, you're ADD.
I'll finish a comic if I start it. Okay. I was just like scrolling on something. I don't know, Twitter or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is a couple years ago. And it was Luke Cage and Black Panther like together. And they see in a little bit of a distance Shang-Chi. So Luke Cage is like, who's that guy? And, you know, Black Panther's like, oh, that's Shang-Chi. He's the world's greatest martial artist. And Luke Cage is like, huh, Danny never mentioned this guy. And then they talked a little bit more. But yeah, that was so linking that to this, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of people in the world, I guess, better at fighting than Danny. And he's just like a really good fighter. Yes.
I mean, is he really that good?
Well, you know, I think one of the other things to remember about Danny is he doesn't have a lot of experience, right? Yeah. Like he has training, but he doesn't have real world fight to the death kind of experience. Like in season one, he had a little more experience, had some hand on hand, like some one on ones. I mean, but like, Daredevil fights people all the time, like many fights an episode. Iron Fist, not so much.
Yeah, but Davos is the same, though. He was raised the same way, so he didn't have a lot of experience.
Yeah, that's true. There's also the mindset. Davos is like, yeah, I'm here to kill.
Yeah,
I'm
here
to win. If I have to kill to win, then yeah. Danny doesn't want to kill.
Yeah, which is a terrible flaw.
I guess, yeah.
Anything else for our heroes?
You know what? Actually, there's one thing I wanted to mention about Colleen. So at the start of the episode, she tells Danny that the final step of his training is to control his emotions. He's, you know, he's emotional with things. He needs to be able to control them. Finally, someone is telling him this. It's about time. That's it.
Yeah.
Just wanted to leave that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm like, well, the fact that Danny was just Davos's punching bag and no one expected him to win that fight. Of course, they never trained him to control his emotions. And then Davos, obviously, he doesn't control his emotions well. That's not a priority in Kunlun.
I don't know about that. Like, I feel like
they're the only Danny two students, got to that, and no one trained to control emotion. Sorry.
Well, kinda. Yeah. I mean, I feel like by the time Danny got to that final fight against Davos, they were like, oh, you know, this really is gonna be a 50-50. It could be either of these guys. Like, Danny might very well be, like, because given the years of training that they had to go through, right? Mm-hmm. You know, whoever was training them must have learned, like, oh, yeah, okay, he's actually pretty good at this. Cool. And then the other thing about emotions and stuff, we kind of see some of the things about Davos. Davos, yeah, also never learned to control his emotions in a sense, mm-hmm. right? If he's, like, blaming others for his losses and things like that. So, yeah, I guess you're right. There's not a lot of that kind of personal growth being taught in Kunlun. It's really just how to fight. Yeah. And I guess not as good as what the Ten Rings teach Shang-Chi.
No. Because Davos to Danny is what Shang-Chi is to that post that he had to punch until his hand was bloody.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Also, the fact that, can't remember her name, Shang-Chi's sister is a better fighter than Danny.
Oh, yeah.
And she got no formal training.
Yeah, she basically taught her. She had to watch. It's like if you watched videos online of people fighting and then taught yourself based off of that.
Okay, so she's a perfect fighter because you can do everything on YouTube.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could see everything. Yeah. So yeah. There's probably some amount of training after she left, after she ran away from home, too. She basically built that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like she said, she's building her own empire. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she did beat. Right, I mean, Shang-Chi didn't want to fight her. I think she did beat Shang.
Yeah, but also she was really good. Like even that's with true, that, too. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, listen to us in 2027 when we actually cover Shang-Chi.
Can't wait.
Yep.
All right, I'm done talking about heroes. How about you?
Yeah, same here.
All right, awesome, cool. Let's take a quick break, and we'll get back to it.
Welcome to Baskin Robbins. Would you like to try our mango fruit blast?
And Jerry's named a flavor after me, so
start craving hazelnuts.
Not bad.
For your consideration, the Jerry.
We all have those moments of self-doubt. Those moments where we think we're not good enough. You know, imposter syndrome. But we also know that there's only one way to get out of that funk. Tony, say it with me in 3, 2, 1, kumite.
Get nine fist. Okay.
All right, same, close enough. That's right, a kumite, as popularized by the 1988 smash hit film Bloodsport. And this week, we're talking about our friends at Wing Kumite Organizers, a subsidiary of Rand Enterprises. If you need to get out of that funk making you doubt yourself, call our friends at Wing Kumite Organizers. You're probably thinking, there's no way this works. This can't actually help, but you're wrong. Super duper wrong. And most importantly, you agree with me that you are wrong, which is why you need to call Wing Kumite Organizers. They'll help you realize that you're actually right, but until then, you're wrong. So call our friends at Wing Kumite Organizers today to prove you're ready for whatever it is you're not already ready for. Use promo code MCRewind to get one free punch in the face as a pre-fight workout.
Can I opt for the hit with a bow staff?
I mean, you could get a discount, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
Tony, did you ever see the movie Bloodsport?
No.
I also have not. No.
Okay. Well.
But there's this podcast I listen to, and one of the guys absolutely loves that movie. So he talks about it a lot. And now I feel like I need to watch it.
Well, we'll see if we can work into this scroll episode.
I mean, that would force me to actually watch. Yeah, well, I've got a lot of other things I need to watch.
Yeah, Back to the Future.
Haunted House is getting remade. I also never saw the original, but I don't know if you saw the trailer. It looks pretty good. I will be watching that movie, the reboot at least.
Yeah. They're rebooting The Crow, which, strangely enough, one of my wife's favorite movies. If you know her, you would not expect that. But her top top three favorite movies are the 2005 Pride and Prejudice, The Crow, and V for Vendetta.
did she go through a goth phase?
Yes, she did.
In high school or something?
Yes,
she did. Okay. I knew it. Oh, not according to her? Ah, I see.
No,
okay.
No. She, according to her, she just likes black. According to her mom, she was goth.
Yeah, okay. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you really liked The Crow at any point in your life...
Yep, I did not see that until I met her.
Ah, okay. I saw the movie when I was like 8 on TV, so I think some things were cut, and also I don't
definitely
remember much about the film. So I don't know. Maybe I'll be watching this new one. I'm not sure. The trailer looked interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely going to go see it with my wife.
That's true. Yeah, you'll have to.
Mm-hmm. Your wife loves Harry Potter. My wife loves The Crow. My wife also loves Harry Potter.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to our villains.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
I ask you, to what end? Dread it? Run from it? Destiny arrives all the same.
Anytime, boys. Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra!
Kill Luke Cage. Kill Jessica Jones. And the devil of Hell's Kitchen, whoever he is.
His name is Matthew. And my name is Electra Nachos. You work for me now.
Who, you know what? Some of them may have had a goth face. We don't know.
I mean, I guarantee Joy had a goth face.
I was going to say Joy also, yes. Mm-hmm. Davos didn't know that was an option, so no. I think Mary is, and or Walker? Probably not.
I think this is Davos's goth face.
This is the closest he'll get to something like that.
He's wearing black.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
He's, yeah. I don't know. I never went through a goth phase. I don't know what else you need.
Eyeliner. Definitely.
I'm pretty sure Sasha Dewan, the actor who plays Davos, is wearing eyeliner to portray Davos. So I'm going to say Davos has eyeliner. Sure.
All right, cool. Oh, wait. Eyeliner goes on the lashes, right? Which one's like you just have black around?
No, the eyeliner is
that's
that.
Eyeliner? All right. Okay, then I don't remember which one's
mascara. Okay. Is
what. Yeah.
Man, when you get off of makeup, we never went through a goth phase.
That's true. Okay. Moving on.
I'm just choosing Davos, the first one on my list.
First on my list, too. Yeah.
I get Danny getting back to full strength, even from an injury in a short amount of time. But mm-hmm. he says these street kids are ready to go out and fight his war. From zero to whatever they are. Has it been months? Has Davos just been murdering people for months while Danny's recovered?
Yeah, this is one of those things where we don't really know.
Yeah.
Like how much time has gone by. Because like it kind of implies like, I don't know, a week in between these two episodes, mm-hmm. I guess. But I guess you're right. Like if the kids are good enough to fight, like hand-to-hand combat to basically be soldiers, that's more than a week. More than a year, really.
Yeah, honestly. But, but even stretching, like, stretching believability, because I can't say the other word, apparently. I would say at least 3 months.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because, I mean, Danny had to spend some time training and healing up and everything. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Unless it's Empire Strikes Back rules, where they both are on separate timelines, but eventually they meet up in the same time anyway, because Upper Chinatown and Lower Chinatown are in different timelines?
I mean, it time could be. Different. New York is weird. Yeah.
It's
possible. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they are in relation to each other. I don't think Chinatown's huge.
It's not. So I used to have a job where I would travel a lot. And mm-hmm. there were a couple of times where I was in New York and I was like, this hotel that was like easy for me was like right at one edge of Chinatown. And so mm-hmm. like to get to the customer that I was working with, I would basically walk completely through Chinatown to get to like the other side. And that was like a couple minutes of walk, like 10 minutes walking, maybe 15. I don't remember. So yeah, not huge.
So there's a good chance that Davos and Danny are like 4 blocks from each other right now.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, New York is huge because it has tall buildings. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
That's how you fit that many people. Yeah, they're on top of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, New York's one of the cities that worked 3-dimensionally.
Mm-hmm.
And Chinatown apparently works 4-dimensionally, which is how they could train these kids so quickly.
Mm, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so let's see. We kind of talked about the Chen Wu confrontation they had about how he'll never trust him because he's betrayed a bunch of his allies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he takes the kids onto a field trip. His field trip. To convince, because Joy wants him to show everybody else what she sees in him, that he's a good man on a good, righteous mission. which ends with him putting his fist through this guy.
Yeah. Like, it started out okay. Davos is like, hey, you're good. You don't have to pay anyone. Just, I'm just letting you know that I'm a new, king of the streets out here. Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, listen, I don't want any trouble. I've seen this before. Just leave me alone, right? I don't want my stuff to, my restaurant to be trashed by your fights, right? That's mm-hmm. basically this guy is what he's saying to Davos. And Davos is like, what? No, you're lying to me. Obviously, you work for these other people and you're dead now.
Yep.
Like, God, yeah. And then even worse, one of his students objects to Davos killing mm-hmm. the guy. And so that student gets killed by another student. So
I'm pretty sure that was Rhino.
I didn't look ahead of time, but I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, is Davos... Because Davos also doesn't bat an eye to that at all. Mm-mm. He's completely fine with losing a student to this. So is Davos, like, teaching them that also separately? Like, all right, I'm going to teach you how to fight. Also, I'm going to teach you, like, if you're in my clan... You know, the Foot Clan, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever clan. He hasn't decided on a name yet. Yeah, but whatever we're going to go with. Yeah. Mm-hmm, something. Yeah, you'll figure out a name later. Then you have to, you're with me until life. And then if you betray any of us, you have to die. Like that, he must be telling them that, because that other student just jumped in quick.
Yeah, maybe. But I would think, like, Rhino would... expect that if he's telling people this. Maybe this is just like an ambitious kid. He and it's just like, yep, I just want to get in his good graces.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. It surprises me that I wish we saw a scene when Davos coming back explaining to Joy what happened to Mr. Yip, who murdered, and she was like, I didn't say talk to him. I said, like, hire a PR firm. That's probably what she meant when she was talking about. Like, that's where her mind would go.
That's true. I mean, really, her mind in the moment was get Davos out of the building.
Oh, yeah.
But if she were to say, like, that would be exactly it. Like how do you prove you're good? By doing good things. Help an old lady cross the street?
Mm-hmm.
Save a cat from a tree?
Murder every criminal in Chinatown?
Yeah, I mean, that's what he's been trying to do for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with a very specific list of this guy's enemies. But, okay.
Yeah. Someone really needs to teach Davos that there's more places than New York, or than Chinatown in New York.
I agree. Also, not it.
No, Chen Wu needs to tell him.
Okay, yeah, he's a good one for that.
So, like, we would see Davos try to take on Luke?
Yeah.
Because Luke is a kingpin at this moment.
That is true. And unfortunately, Davos would win that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because
Danny rocked him.
Yeah, and that was in the Defenders, so that was after Luke got his improved body toughness stuff in season one of his show, right? So, Davos just needs to punch him twice, and Luke is out.
I feel like Davos would have been a much better villain for the Defenders, honestly.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if Luke knows the fight's coming, he would win. Because also, Davos is not tough. So as soon as Luke throws a car at Davos, he wins. I'm going to go with that. I think in a fight...
Unless Luke punches the car back at him.
Great.
Comic book logic.
Yeah, you're right. All right, it becomes a game of Pong with that car.
I would all right. Potential Defender season 2.
Okay, all right.
I don't remember what happens to Davos at the end of this.
That's true. Yeah, I have no idea if he lives or dies.
Davos, Bushmaster, Trish Walker, and Bullseye. Spoilers alerts for season 3 of Jessica Jones and Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Team up to take down the Defenders.
Oh, so the Defenders versus the Offenders?
Yes, the Offenders.
Okay. All right.
Davos defeats him with a middle finger. Highly offended.
Yep, very much so.
No, I feel like that, like, if we were going to do season 2, and then Punisher and a guy with a bulletproof vest. I don't know who his main villains are. The guy with the scar.
I mean, that is actually kind of like...
Actually, that's a really good one.
Well, yeah, but that he's like kind of the only real recurring villain that the Punisher has. I too forgot his name. Because
his name's Agent Orange. His super villain name is Agent Orange, but I can't remember his name.
What? Wait, the...
I am talking about the general who's trying to cover it up in Punisher Season 1. Who dies?
Oh, sorry. I was talking about his Frank Castle's best friend. Who, spoiler alert, he's also the villain in Punisher Season 2.
Yeah, Jigsaw.
Yeah, Jigsaw. That's right. I couldn't remember his name.
Yeah, he could also unite them. Yeah, dude, I'm actually really enjoying the season a lot. Like, I'm yearning for, after Luke Cage and this, I'm yearning for more of these guys.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, I hope we see them again. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, after seeing everything that's happening with Daredevil in, you know, nowadays, right, of coming into Disney Plus and stuff, and thinking, okay, it's theoretically possible that these other characters come back, and what they did with Echo as far as having the, was it Marvel Presents kind of spotlight, or Marvel Spotlight? I forget what they
called
it.
Marvel Spotlight, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, like, it's theoretically possible that this stuff comes back as just, you know, its own separate, like, still in the MCU, but they're a separate world. So it's basically back to what it was before Kevin Feige got too much power and it went to his head. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if that happens, hell yeah, that'd be awesome. I would love to see more of these stories.
And looking it up, I know a few weeks ago we looked up what Simone Missick and Jessica Henwick, Misty and Colleen Noir, were up to.
Uh-huh.
I know that Michael Coulter, Luke Cage's show, Evil, is in its final season, they announced. And looking up Finn Jones... He hasn't done anything since 2022. So.
All right.
Oh, he's got 6 episodes of a show in post-production.
Oh. Anything good? What's it called?
It's called Venery of Samantha Bird. I've never heard of it. He plays Jake Minot. He's also playing Charles Lindbergh in a movie called Canyon of the Dead.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. He's available. They're all available. I mean, we could have all 4 of them back. That's all I want. I mean, I know, like, in my mind, like, we know Daredevil's coming back. We know Punisher's coming back. I feel like Jessica, Kristen Ritter's like a foregone conclusion because she's the other most popular one after those two. But, like, Mike Coulter's Luke Cage, Finn Jones' Daredevil, and then both Dars of Dragons are more question marks in my mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Anything else for Davos?
Nope, that's it. Just he's getting crazier and crazier. Actually, you know what? One thing. In last week's episode, we found out that the procedure that happened for switching the Iron Fist power from one person to another, if done improperly or whatever, could kill all who were involved, right? It's a dangerous procedure, essentially.
Including the tattoo artists?
Maybe. I don't know. Probably not. But at a minimum, I involve the person who originally had the power and the person who the power was transferred to. So in this case, Danny and Davos.
Mm-hmm.
We did read something That's right. When Davos got the Iron Fist power in the comics, it was like slowly killing him or something. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if, and again, like we both have said multiple times, we don't remember what happens to Davos at the end of this. I wonder if he's getting more and more crazy, essentially, because of that, right? More bloodthirsty, mm-hmm. more combative because of
Dan, the transfer. Yeah, Danny says that the fist corrupted him, and he's just mm-hmm. cared about maintaining the fist, not about the city. So mm-hmm. it's definitely correcting Davos twice as much because he's got two fists.
Yeah. That's true.
Now, my question, do you think, and I know we know the answer to this, if Danny got the power back in his fist, mm-hmm. would it be a third color? Would it be purple this time?
Just keeps changing across the spectrum.
Maybe maybe every Iron Fist has a different color fist. It's just we're used to Danny having the fist.
Okay. That's possible.
Yeah.
And then every so often, oddly enough, one of the Iron Fists gets like ultraviolet light. So it's like you can't see it as a human. you can see it on like a video camera, or dogs can see it. But
the question is, does it just look like a regular fist? Do you just see a bone fist? Or is his fist entirely invisible?
Just a regular fist.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like something in Star Wars when they're using the Force and they're like, awesome, cool. With this type of magic power, we don't have to do sci-fi editing. Cool.
That's true. We just have to put a string on a piece of fruit, but still do it CGI because it was in Star Wars Episode 2.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. My favorite was always in Episode 3 when Anakin and Obi-Wan are fighting in Mustafar and they're like just trying to force push each other. It was great.
Yeah.
That's the one I always think of.
I do love that scene. It's like, mm-hmm. out of context, it's just like so stupid. And in context, mm-hmm. still kind of stupid.
Still a little. Yeah, a little stupid.
Alright. Is Joy still a villain?
I guess we should move her. She's done villainous things. She's trying to help at this point, I guess. Do we still count her as some form of antagonist?
She is responsible partially for Mr. Yip's death.
I think we should leave her. I'm fine with leaving her as villain for the rest of the season.
Okay.
Maybe the final episode. Again, we'll see how her path takes her.
Kind of like what we're doing with the Walker.
All right.
Mm-hmm. She also does tell Davos. She doesn't like Danny. She still tells Davos about the flyers and stuff.
Yeah, I
don't know what her play is.
Well, I do think that she's, it's okay. If you're going like undercover, essentially, right? That's what she's doing. I think mm-hmm. she's trying to build trust. She wants to make sure that Davos trusts her no matter what, because she kind of wasn't trusted for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. And she just like pretty much say, stay away from me. You're crazy. And
mm-hmm.
probably tried like to kick him in the shin and fell down like War does, because that's a family trait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
She calls Ward to take over the solar panel factory because it was like her mother's goal, right?
Mm-hmm. So she doesn't exactly tell Ward why she wants him to take over the factory, but yes, she's doing it. That's what it was. And I guess we finally get a little bit of a resolution to that story from the first episode of the season, right? We're like, well, why does she want these patents and all that. This really is just a separate thing for her. And it is kind of coming into the story now, but not too much. So, okay.
I mean, yeah, it's super important to talk about the family drama of the Meachums. It's the most exciting thing in this show, Tony said monotonely. And she gets BB out because BB shows a little bit of backbone and got punched and put in the dark room. Yeah, at least he didn't get murdered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Hey, I thought this after watching the episode, but I did not write it down. The person who punched him and like wanted him put into that dark room. Was that Rhino who later gets killed?
I'm not sure. Okay. I don't know if that's it's Rhino thought, or if it was the guy who ended up slitting Rhino's throat.
Okay. We'll just leave it for now. It could have. It doesn't matter, really. I was just curious.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they go and they find the bowl while she's... BB finds the bowl while she's distracting Davos. And yeah, Davos isn't happy. Yeah. How dare that guy go around my fist?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's pretty much it for her.
So moving on to Walker, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. She's
She has the same twist that we get at the end of Moon Knight. There's a third alternate personality.
Whoa.
Yeah. I know. I mean, that's something I could have guessed that was going to be a twist after we did the Easter eggs. But also, I like didn't realize that a third, even more violent alter... Yeah, it's the exact same twist as in, that they use later in Moon Knight.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so here's a question I have. All right, so seeing we have this flashback, right, of Mary Walker being rescued in Sokovia, and that was... Which identity was that? Was that Mary or Walker?
This is my theory, because... Mm-hmm. I think Mary Walker was once a, like, she was in the army, but she was much a more stable person. I think it divided between her good, not so much her goodness, but like her positive emotions and her negative emotions. So like Mary Walker, I think is a different person than both Mary and Walker.
Sorry. So that was actually another question of mine. Who joined the military?
I think Mary Walker.
Okay, okay. The original person before DID, you know, developed and all that stuff.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense. I was thinking like, oh, it has to have been one of the three, probably Walker, but I think you're right. There's probably an original person, and who? Okay, so this original identity, I guess, would be a fourth person. Who doesn't show up anymore? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, I would presume so. Like the therapist they talk to offers like a path towards integration of the alters. So it's like at one point she was probably integrated. Like she, okay. I presume she didn't develop DID until the trauma in the military.
Okay. Which, sorry for some spoilers, but Moon Knight, right? Something similar. Is different in that, you know, one persona, and I can't remember any of the names, but one of them is the one that grew up, and then the other one that we see was developed later. And then I guess there's the third one who also was developed probably at some other point in time that we don't know. But in that scenario, in Moon Knight, we do know the original identity stuck around the entire time.
Was Mark Spector.
Yes, Mark Spector. That's right.
And then I'm trying to remember what the other one's name is. Jake Lockley is the third one.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I cannot remember the name of the other ones. The other one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm bad at names, so I just give up. But yeah.
I don't. Well, until two Google shirts. searches tells me.
Stephen Grant.
Thank you. Oh yes, another Steve.
That's right.
Yep. All right. Glad we got to figure that out. All right. Anything else for Walker? I don't have anything else.
No. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, her whole thing this episode was just, I guess, giving us backstory to her character. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on, guy in the chair.
Guy in the chair.
I think that's what I want to do. Is help people with abilities.
No. Not those three wombats. No way.
I have BB with no notes under him because I copied everything into earlier sections. So,
yeah, nothing for him. Nothing really for, I mean, Ward was here also, but he didn't really do much. He got a call from Joy. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, moving on to 12% of the plan.
Stark Tower is your baby. Give yourself 12% of the credit.
12%.
An argument can be made for 15.
12%
well,
of my baby?
Did do all the heavy lifting. Literally, wow. I lifted the heavy things.
You know, I'm 12 minutes older than you.
Go.
What percentage?
I don't know. 12%.
12%? That is not a plan.
It's barely a concept.
You're taking their side?
I am Groot.
So what? It's better than 11%. What the hell does that have to do with anything?
I do have one thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So we know that Mary's fought in Sokovia. She was caught and presumably tortured. Zemo was the leader of a Sokovian death squad called Echo Scorpion. Mm-hmm. What do you think are the odds that this particular death squad is the same death squad that captured Mary Walker?
I think that that is 1 in 12.
Okay. Where are you getting this data?
It's a complicated Excel spreadsheet that I created.
Okay.
And it's, you know, just numbers, possibilities, things like that, that I've guessed over the years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think it's probably 1 in 2. Either they choose to do something with that or they don't.
That makes more sense. But I still think 12, 1 in 12.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
Okay. All right. Cool.
All right. Do you have anything for 12%?
I do not, no.
All right. So let's rate the episode.
I know my value. Anyone else's opinion doesn't really matter.
Earth just lost her best defender. So we're here to fight.
Strongest Avenger.
Access denied.
Strongest Avenger.
Access denied.
Damn you, Stark.
Banner.
Welcome, Strongest Avenger.
Oh, what?
Al?
Mm-hmm.
How many times that we see heroes giving up their powers are you giving this episode?
Ooh, that is a good question. Let's see, how many times of us seeing heroes?
Or giving up their responsibility.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to say, let's see. I'm going 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, yeah, this was good. You know, we see, you know, Danny's got some training. He's going through Colleen doing some training. No real fight scenes. I mean, there was that little piece in the middle.
Yeah. And we got Chen Wu versus Colleen.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. So we had that. Yeah, that was good. Davos is getting crazier and crazier. Mm-hmm. So that's fun, I guess. But 3.5, I think is good. Yeah. I'm not going to list heroes because I can't think of enough that I feel like you wouldn't have enough if you list items.
Well, luckily I'm only giving it 3. Yeah, a little bit less than you. Pretty much the same reasons. The only reason I'm giving it so high, honestly, is because Danny has realized that Colleen should be the Iron Fist. So I'm going to give it Spider-Man 2 when he is Spider-Man no more. Superman 2 when he gives up his powers to be with Lois. And The Dark Knight Rises when he just gives up at the end.
Okay. All right. I guess I'm glad I didn't list mine because I was going to go also Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
When he gives up. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 after Gwen Stacy dies and he gives up.
Spider-Man Homecoming when Tony takes his powers and he gives up.
Well, that was my half. My third one was going to be that that Christmas Spider-Man cartoon episode we watched.
or you watched.
That I watched. Yeah. And I described. Where he gives up being Spider-Man because all of his friends hate him and all the other stuff. And then yes, my half would be that one where Tony Stark takes away his stuff and all that. Yeah.
I would actually say like the beginning of Spider-Man Homecoming, where he just tries, not Homecoming, Far From Home, when he just tries to go on vacation. That's like a half
gimmick. Yeah, yeah, all three of those films, like there was something, and I hadn't really chosen one, and then you said one. I was like, yeah, I'll go with that. I was trying to think of something from No Way Home, but yeah, no, at no point does he actually give up. He gives up being Peter. Oh, because he gives up being Peter Parker.
Ah.
No one knows who that is anymore. That guy doesn't exist.
Yeah. Oh, that could have said like Batman at the end of Arkham Knight, the third Arkham game, when he just becomes Batman all the time and gives up being Bruce Wayne.
Oh, that's cool. All right. I didn't play those games.
And that's one interpretation. He dies, but Bruce Wayne dies, and then Batman's still on the streets, but they don't know who Batman is. I'm just presuming, because they never followed up on it.
Okay.
Yeah, Al, makes sense. Al, you want to wrap up the episode?
Yes. Yes, I do. Hey, everyone. Join us next week when we will be talking about the penultimate episode of Iron Fist, titled War Without End. In the meantime, please follow us on some form of social media. We are usually at MCU_rewind. I think sometimes we're MCU Rewind. What matters more importantly, though, is if you give us some kind of rating on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app, and please fill out like an actual review in that rating and tell us how you want us to read that on air. You know what? I've been saying some kind of accent that works, but you know, if you want us to do an impression, we can try like an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression or something else. That works too.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is the Marvel Cinematic Rewind, signing off.
Have a marvelous day.